AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a big night of Champions League action. Celtic are in Birmingham taking on Aston Villa with a small chance of a top 8 finish, but without Maeda, Carter Vickers and of course the departed Kyogo. Rangers have a slightly better chance of a top 8 Europa League finish tomorrow as Philippe Clement addresses the Jeffy to Chelsea rumours. And of course, the search is very much on for the next manager of Motherwell. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight, former Motherwell and Aston Villa man, would you look at that, Ross McCormick and Marvin Bartley.
Yep, really enjoyable Wednesday, obviously, with Celtic playing the Champions League. I enjoy these midweek shows when you've got that European football, obviously Rangers tomorrow. But yeah, a big game for Celtic, not in terms of, listen, they've qualified. That was the main objective. Do it with a game to spare is absolutely brilliant. You know, it's no mean feat to do so. But they get almost a free hit. I hate that word, or those two words in football, but it really is going down to Villa. The players who are missing through suspension, obviously Kyogo's off, but you know, the fans will be down there and really enjoying it. So hopefully they can get a good result.
We tried last week, but I see you've been overlooked to do the halftime draw. Not welcome back yet.
Not yet. Like ever, to be honest. But no, yeah, both of you are right. Massive, I think, for Scottish football, massive game, because I tell you what, I've lived down there for a number of years in England, and the amount of people down there who turn their nose up at Scottish football, it's a good opportunity to go and put on a show and an advert for Scottish football tonight. I don't think it'll be an easy game for Aston Villa, even though probably everyone expects them to beat Celtic, but no, what a night in store.
Him and Steve Bruce doing the halftime draw together. Can you imagine?
Man.
Get you a private jet, get you down there by the next couple of hours. Anyway, 0141-951-1025. Good to have Ross McCormick and Marvin Bartley along with us. But what are you thinking tonight then, Celtic fans? How do you view this? I mean, is it a free hit? Or is that overshadowed by the fact that, you know, it is Aston Villa, it is English Premier League opposition? You really want to make that statement. Then how much is your confidence damaged by the change in personnel? When this draw was made, you would have wanted Cameron Carter-Vickers, Maeda, Kyogo, all of them going at Aston Villa, but due to injury, suspension and a departure, you won't have any of the three of them. So presumably, what, Liam Scales, Adam Ida, Yang, Lewis Palmer, something else, pick the team as well. How are you feeling about tonight? I believe the Opta chances, the Opta stats say Celtic have a 1% chance of a top 8. It reminds me of the Dumb and Dumber.
Tell me there's a chance.
You're saying there's a chance. I don't know if you're that much of an optimist. Feel free to share your thoughts there as well. So everything around this game, it should be a cracker. Get your calls in. Rangers fans, I think, is it a 10% chance, I read? So slightly more ahead of a top 8 finish in the Europa League against Union Saint-Gilloise tomorrow. You have a new Moroccan assistant manager. Have you read into him much? What do you make of that appointment? Jeffy to Chelsea. It's not a topic I expected a couple of weeks ago, I have to say. But that is the rumour, and Philippe Clement's addressed it today. He also says that they are happy with the outcome of Mohamed Diomande's appeal, and not much more to be said on it. Draw a line under it, move on, he says. How do you feel about that? Motherwell fans, we've heard more from you this week than we have for the rest of the season combined. If you want to keep going, you can do. So loads happening. 0141-951-1025. Right now, if you can, let's cross live to Birmingham and speak to Gabriel.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European Group Stages. With UK Debt Expert, the top team helping you tackle your debt. Verify at ukdebtexpert.co.uk. May not be suitable for all. Free advice at moneyhelper.org.uk.
Well, Gabriel, the first time, incredibly, that these famous two clubs have met ever, both former European champions, of course, and the first time that they're going to come head-to-head tonight.
Yeah, Gordon, good evening from Villa Park. As you say, two European champions, 1967 for Celtic and 1982 for Aston Villa. They meet this evening in what is a first for everyone across Europe. The first ever 18-match Champions League Wednesday. A mayhem match day, some people are calling it. The whole of Europe will be united, eyes stuck to screens across the continent, trying to work out what's going on in the table, who is going to be in the top eight, who's going to play who in the playoff round next month. We know that Celtic have already qualified. They've got 12 points and are in 18th place. You're touching on it, Gordon. There is a tiny chance that Celtic could finish automatically in those top eight places, but their focus will be picking up anything they can here. Every point will be vital. As it stands, if it was to end before the games, Celtic would face Real Madrid or Bayern Munich in the next stage. But, you know, a point, perhaps 3 points, will push them further up. And there's other teams in there that they could face, like Monaco, Feyenoord, Brest or Lille, perhaps slightly more favourable. But we're just going to have to pay attention all evening to the constantly developing table. Aston Villa, of course, are in ninth place. Now, they've only got one more point than Celtic. This is their 9 places above them. That shows you how tight it is in this new league phase. And they are desperate to finish in the top eight as well. The condensed fixtures down here in the Premier League, they don't want 2 extra games. They know a victory here this evening will likely see them through automatically. In terms of team news, well, the hosts, a familiar face in the shape of John McGinn. He returned from injury at the weekend. He could start on the right-hand side of midfield for Unai Emery's team. But for Celtic, there are question marks. No Dyson Maeda, he's suspended. No Cameron Carter-Vickers, he's injured. No Kyogo, he is off to France. And Jota, of course, not registered yet. So it'll be interesting to see what the front three looks like. Will it be Yang, given a rare start in the Champions League? Adam Eder likely to lead the line. Bring your team news when it comes, Gordon, at around 6:45.
Get your calls in. Until then, Celtic fans, how would you line up tonight? What do you make of your chances given those absentees? I'm sure it would have gone down as a tough task anyway. Just looking at Gabriel there at Villa Park, Ross, we're joking. We know that was a tough time for you personally, and of all the great success you had in England, that was a trickier time. But it's one of those traditional football venues, isn't it? Still a great place to go and play, I'm sure you would still say.
And you know what? The first thing I noticed when I walked into the stadium was when you walk in, like, the main entrance, it is absolutely pristine inside. Beautiful. And then obviously when you go down the tunnel, you can see the European Cup and stuff that they've won. Fantastic arena to play in. Obviously it didn't go well for me. That's football, isn't it? It happens, you move on. But it's a fantastic stadium. I would say it's probably up there in the one of the best stadiums in terms of atmosphere as well, yeah, that it generates, that I've certainly played in.
Well, hopefully it's a good game tonight. Let's bring in Stephen, who's a Celtic fan. What are you thinking, Stephen? Are you confident, or how would you describe it?
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks very much for taking my call. Listen, I'm really looking forward to tonight's game. I know we're going in there with a somewhat depleted squad. We've lost Kyogo. You know, we've got Maeda upset. Offensively, we're maybe a wee bit shy in that department, you know. I would love us just to get in there and put on a show. I'm not expecting to get a massive victory. I don't think it's beyond all realms of possibility that we could get down there and win. You know, we're in decent form. Villa will fancy it. I think the atmosphere will be absolutely electric, you know, and I think there'll be a great spectacle. I think it'll be a fantastic game, you know.
What are they playing for, Marvin, in what sort of priority order? You might be one of the most positive, optimistic pundits we've got, but even you, I don't know if you're leaning into this 1% chance of top eight, are you?
Yeah, listen, it's going to be difficult. You know, I hate putting percentages on things because, you know, as Stephen said there, that Celtic could go there and win this game of football, and all of a sudden, you know, they finish within the top eight positions.
And then there's so many other results that need to go their way.
Yeah, listen, it's a tough one. You just take on these 90 minutes. You know, as I said, you know, any Celtic fan, if you'd have said to them with one game to go, you're going to be in the playoff positions, they would have taken that all day long. So would the players. There's not anyone associated with the football club that would have said, do you know what? We'd rather see if we can have a shootout and see any points we can get from now till the end of the kind of group stages. It's a massive game because it's a Scottish team versus an English team. Now, that much is simple. But as you said, with the players who are missing, Kyogo obviously being sold and the injury and suspension, it makes it so much harder. And I agree, just go out there and give it absolutely everything. The pressure's off Celtic today. It really, really is. But one thing they don't want to do is go there, start slowly, and all of a sudden Aston Villa are, you know, one or two goals ahead early on in the game.
That's what I mean then. Is the pressure off? Because then that's in the back of your mind.
Often a sense that, you know, they don't need to go and get 3 points and see what happens with other results to see if they are through to the next round in terms of the playoffs. They've already got that. So that pressure is off of them. But there is, when you play for Celtic Football Clubs, there's always pressure on you, no matter what it is, friendly. And this is a massive European game at the end of the day. But it's a free hit in terms of they're going out there. If they win the game of football, absolutely brilliant. If they lose the game of football, they know they've still got that playoff as kind of the security as well.
What do you think, Ross, in terms of, kind of, you know, what they're playing for and what the mood would be?
Personal pride. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you nearly every one of them Celtic players in that dressing room probably grew up thinking about, will they ever be good enough to play in the Premier League? Well, tonight's the night to go and show it. There's the reward there. Yes, they might not get into the top eight or whatever, but what a chance it is to go and beat an English Premier League and a very, very good English Premier League club. So it's all about pride for me.
So it doesn't sound like those absentees are having a huge impact on your confidence, Stephen. Who's coming in there? Who's going to, you know, I take it Adam Ida will, Liam Scales, is it simple as that?
Yeah, I think Adam will come in. And I think we'll see a more confident player tonight, because I think now he's always kind of been waiting in the sidelines. Kyogo's always been the starter. I think he's going to come in, and I think we'll see a massive difference in him tonight, because he's now the man and he's going to be the man going forward. You know, I know we've got young Kenny coming in for the remainder of the league season, and there may be another person coming in, but at this moment in time, Adam Ida is the starting centre forward for Celtic. I think we'll see I really hope that we see a more confident player, because I think the big man's been a wee bit hard done by. You know, I think some of the fans have been on his case, but I for one don't forget what he did last season when, and you know, a lot of important goals for us. And I think tonight we're going to see a confident him. And I think Scales, he'll come in and do the job that he always does, steady. And I think Martin and Ross put it, Marvin and that have got it bang on there. You know, it's a free hit tonight. We're playing, we don't want to lose the game, but, you know, the pressure is on Celtic just to go and is off them to win the game, you know, to qualify. We've already done that. Go down there tonight, play some exciting football, try and win the match, and ultimately that's all we can ever ask for. You know, and the Celtic fans, that's what we look for. So, all in all, really, really good.
See on the some of the names that Stephen mentions, if this is, well, is it be perceived to be a, you know, a tough place to go away from home, one of the better teams that Celtic have faced, in that regard, is it like Atalanta? And if the answer is yes, well, Scales and Ida actually both started that game away from home. So I wonder if that is that a bit more of the blueprint that Celtic will try and follow?
Yeah, it will be. You know, I think Aston Villa are a better team. That's one thing I would say to you. I think at the top end, they've got some really, really good players. Obviously, you know, we see John McGinn putting on the Scotland shirt and what he can bring, but people like Tielemans as well in the centre of the park. They are a very, very, very good team. And Emery, you know, his European record speaks for itself. But that will be the blueprint. You know, I think they will have to sit in at times. They will have to soak up pressure. They will have to be comfortable not having the ball. And then when they do get it, you know, can they go and punish Aston Villa? But I agree again with Stephen. Adam Ida is going to be massive today. I think he is a player that looks like he's lacked a bit of confidence. He has to prove as well to the manager, to himself, to the supporters, that he can now carry that shirt, that, you know, he's good enough to keep that shirt with Kyogo going. But it's a massive, massive ask for Celtic today. I definitely believe that, because as I said, at the top end, I think Aston Villa have got some really good players.
It has to be Adam Ida, doesn't it? I don't think there's any question there. And it probably has to be Liam Scales, Ross. Maybe the biggest question is who takes Daizen Maeda's spot. Yang tends to be the next in line, does he not, with James Forrest out injured?
Yeah, I think the Celtic's biggest problem tonight, Marvin's just said there, they are going to have to be comfortable not having the ball. So they're going to have to sit back. And then usually what you would say is sometimes that might favour Celtic to be able to hit a counter-attack. But having lost Kyogo, having lost now Maeda, they lose a massive part of their identity in that team. So it's going to be difficult for them to get out. That's where the pressure's going to fall on Adam Ida's shoulders tonight. He's got to get a hold of the ball and bring the midfield into the game, because if he doesn't, it'll just be wave after wave of attack. And to be honest, Marv hit the nail on the head there. Aston Villa are a better team than Atalanta. So I believe if it is wave after wave of attack, it's going to be a long, long night.
Atalanta are not bad though, to be
no,
fair.
No, they're not.
Look at what they did last season. Let's bring in, thanks Stephen for his thoughts, and bring in Jay on the other line. How are you, Jay?
I'm not bad, Pan. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. What are your thoughts ahead of tonight then?
kind of think, in all honesty, with the last caller said about Villa being a better team in Atlanta, I disagree quite strongly on that, in all honesty.
Yes, you think Celtic have already got the blueprint out of this group for how to games like this?
In complete honesty, like, I honestly could see Celtic getting the result tonight, but I've also said in my call, I don't really want them to. I don't know, obviously, with you and that gone, like, sorry, 2 seconds, guys.
Why don't you want them to win?
I'm on a plane at the, at the moment in time, so I'm just trying not to have, like, the announcer.
You're on the on a plane?
A train.
Oh, a train? Right, okay, never mind. That's a bit more realistic. So why don't you want Celtic to win?
I think Celtic will win tonight, and I think it'll be a very close game. The reason I would kind of lean towards or not is there's a boy on Twitter known as Scottish Coefficient.
Oh yeah, we've had him on the show. What a brain he is for this sort of stuff.
Exactly, and he's kind of predicted if Celtic were to win tonight, it's the most likely opponents being Real or Bayern Munich. But if I was a loss tonight, it'd be between Lille and Monaco.
I see what you mean.
Perspective being like the loss tonight, but then a better chance of going through to the actual last 16.
I see what you mean. This is, to be fair, obviously caveat that with this table could move so much, yeah. But Jay will be right, and I think you've been on when Scotland's coefficient, yeah. Mr. Scotland's coefficient's been on. He tends to have this stuff all figured out. So at the moment, Celtic are in 18th position in the table. That's right, isn't it? Yeah, none of them have kicked off yet, and I think the projection would be that it would be the type of Bayern, Real Madrid types that they could meet. But Jay does make an interesting point. It could be that the lower you finish, somehow you end up meeting a perceived weaker team. But then the counter argument would be, well, they can't be that weak if they've finished high up the league table.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you start mentioning teams like Monaco as being one of the easier ones. I saw them play against Aston Villa last week, and they were very, very good. Listen, you get to this stage.
You'd still rather take on them than Real Madrid, though.
You would. But I think, you know, to go and win a game, if you're guaranteed to avoid Real Madrid, if you don't win, then it's slightly different. But you don't know what's going to happen. I think to go and win the game and just go into next one with confidence, because you know no matter what happens, you're going to be meeting a tough team. Yes, Real Madrid, you know, Man City, PSG, etc. Man City have been struggling all season. You know, so it's never going to be easy. No matter who Celtic draw, it's never going to be easy. But if you can offer them the win, to take the win today, or a defeat, and then hopefully avoid those teams, they're going to take the win, definitely.
And what would offset that, though? Again, Jay's theory has some legs. But if Celtic were to win tonight, you get a lot of money for winning in the Champions League, Ross. A lot of money. You then, all that stuff you can't measure about, like confidence, momentum, belief, all the good sort of press even that would come with it. We mentioned the Scotland England thing. So if you're focused purely on this possibility that you get a certain team in the next round, fine. But there's a lot of good stuff can come with winning games.
Oh, definitely. By the way, I'm 38 years of age, and that's the first time that I have ever heard a Celtic or Rangers fan saying that they would rather lose tonight. Unbelievable. You hit the nail on the head. The table will move, so realistically they probably won't end up with them teams. But to say Monaco and what have you are a little bit weaker and they're easier games and stuff, well, Young Boys meant to be an easy game. The team over in Croatia was meant to be an easy game and, you know, struggled over there a little bit. So there's no easy games in this Champions League. I think the money that comes with getting 3 points and getting further up that table will be way more important to Celtic. They're not going to go and win the Champions League, unfortunately not. I think everyone will agree with that. So why not? Why not have the chance to go and play these Real Madrids and stuff? What an occasion that would be.
Jay, I don't think we've fully won them over. I don't mind it. I see where you're coming from. The train's been cancelled.
Train's in a tunnel.
Away. Thank you very much to Jay. Somewhere between, I don't know what line he was on, and the Gorbals. But 01419511025, that's the number that you need. You want to keep building up to the game in Birmingham, as I suspect many of you do. Give us a call right now. And what about Rangers fans? What are you thinking tomorrow then? I think there's a slightly better chance of you going top eight, but again, you'd still need a win and other results to go your way. So how are you feeling about that in terms of today's other topics? Philippe Clement said he was glad that Diomande had won his appeal. He says that's kind of, you know, a line drawn under it now. There's not much more to say on it. And what about Jeffrey to Chelsea? It's not the transfer rumour we expected a few weeks ago, but it's there. And Philippe Clement says he can see him getting to that level one day. Do you agree? Give us a call. We'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Ross McCormick are here. 0141 951 1025. Building up to the game between Aston Villa and Celtic tonight. Rangers fans, you're in action, of course, tomorrow. What are you thinking there? We'll hear from Philippe Clement and Motherwell fans. It's been very busy with callers of your persuasion over the last couple of nights. So how are you feeling now? Has some of the emotion started to die down? It feels like there's Motherwell fans civil war on social media. And now actually it has to get put to one side and focus on who the next manager is going to be. So let us know what you are thinking there. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers. These were his pre-match thoughts.
What we set out to do, which was to arrive in the playoffs, the players have done that, so it's great. But our job's not complete in this series of eight games. We come here to a great venue, but we want to come and play to the level that we know we can do. It's a great achievement to be in the top 24, I think, if you look at the economics of it all. And for the players, they've been fantastic.
I'm not saying it's the most important thing, but for him as well, we all know what you football types are like and your egos. Brendan Rodgers doesn't want to go anywhere in Europe and get a sore one, but particularly back to England, he will really fancy that, won't he?
Yeah, that'd be in the back of his mind for sure. You know, he wouldn't want to make it about himself, but as he said there, you know, we're not just going to come here and basically just roll over and have our tummies tickled. So they're going to go out there and give it everything they have, but he understands the size of the task ahead of them. You know, we've spoken about Aston Villa and what they have, but not only that, you know, there's some big players missing for Celtic, as we've already spoken about on this show. So, yeah, listen, they're going to have to be at their best. It's normally people go against Celtic. Domestically, you have to be at your best and hope, you know, that they're not at theirs. But that's what has happened tonight with Aston Villa. Otherwise, like you said, it could be a sore one. But listen, they'll be full of confidence that they'll go down there and I'm sure they'll give a good account of themselves.
It's funny, I was looking at that there, just out of curiosity, to see, you know, how to look at the odds. Celtic are about 5-1 to win the game. In my head, I'm thinking, where would that pit, who would that be domestically going to Celtic? Do you know what I mean? Is it just trying to compare it, and it's a completely hypothetical point. But what's that like? Like one of our better sides, maybe a good Hearts team going to Celtic Park, something like that. Maybe,
maybe the first not quite that. Game Rangers, maybe.
Perhaps exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, please gamble responsibly and all that. Right, Jack is on the line. How are you, Jack?
My point is, how the front three's going to be.
What do you think? Who are you picking?
Lewis Palmer in the wing, right? Either down the middle, and can at the right wing.
How old are you, Jack?
10.
You've just made your point better than Marvin Bartley and Ross McCormick have for the last half an hour, so it's a good start. Why Palmer and not Yang, Jack? Come on, I'm going to test you out now. Let's back this up.
I thought he was really good last season. He just dropped his performance, and like when like Yang played against Dundee United, I thought he's not that good. I think he just needs to up his confidence.
Oh, Jack is good. Jack can come in here. We need a third pundit. When Hugh Keevans retires in 25 years' time, Jack can take his place. Yang or Palmer for you?
Yang, I've already said. I enjoy watching Yang. I really do. I know, listen, he's been kind of hot and cold with his performances for Celtic.
I'm not trying to be cruel to him, right? Because I'm not quite as far as Hugh, who's got him completely written off. You going as far as that?
Yeah, no, I do. Listen, there's parts of his game that can definitely improve, but I think recently he has shown glimpses of, you know, why Celtic brought him to the football club. I think he's been positive in a lot of his play. He's trying to be direct and take players on, and that's what happens with a winger. You know, people always think to play on the winger, it's easy, but the defender's there to stop him also. So I'd like to see him given an opportunity tonight. And I'd be surprised if it's not him. I know, you know, what young Jack's saying about Palmer as well, getting the opportunity. But you know, I'd like to see Yang given the opportunity to start tonight.
I'm going to agree with Jackie boy, to be honest. He seems to know what he's talking
about. He's won you over, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. Yeah, I love listening to him. I think there could be another spin to it as well. If Palmer's looking to get out of the club this window, why not put him in the shop window tonight? If he has a good game, someone might just press the button to come and get him. I think Yang's had a lot of chances recently.
How would you react to that, though, if you were a player and someone who's, you know, openly said they want to leave the football club is putting ahead of you? Surely you'd be disappointed. That's a confidence knock as well. Brendan, looking forward maybe to 2 or 3 weeks down the line when the window's actually closed on Monday. Once the window's closed, he's going to have Young there and potentially not Palmer. So, you know, surely you look after who's going to be in the building rather than someone who's potentially not going to be there.
I get that, yeah. I do agree with that. But I just think if there's someone like Palmer there sitting in high wages, this might be a chance to get someone to come and take him.
What about for both of them? This is the start of what might be a short audition before a certain Jota jumps above you both.
Well, I think
in
it's
the pecking order.
I think it's the same for Ida. You know, the last caller was saying that he's going to be the man in that. I think he'll only be the man for a couple of weeks until Jota's fit, and I think Dyson Maeda plays up front.
And or a new striker arrives.
Mm-hmm. That, yes. But I would find it hard to take Maeda out of the team completely, to be honest. I think he's been that integral to the team this season. I think he plays through the middle.
See, because you said you enjoy Yang. Hugh Keevans has already texted. He's fired up the Nokia and says it's time for Marvin to retire. Enjoy in capital letters. Look, he's not having
what
you
a guy. He's not having
right, Jack. Go on then. What are you thinking? Score prediction tonight? Can Celtic do it?
Probably, maybe. It's a slight chance, but probably like 2-2 or 2-1.
I like that there from Jack. Probably, maybe there's a slight chance. He's getting less confident. Maybe, he says. Thank you very much to Jack. What a call that was. Most sense we've heard all night from a 10-year-old. What about David on the other line? David, I'm just going to guess, because the older you get, the more cynical you get, and you can't be younger than 10. So are you thinking it's going to be harder for Celtic tonight?
Oh, very much so. And good evening to you, gentlemen, tonight.
Good evening to you.
Obviously, with Celtic missing Kyogo, Maeda, the responsibility is going to probably fall on Mr. Kuhn on the right-hand side to provide any scoring opportunities, which will be very few. If they get more than two, I'd be very surprised. I think it'll be like the Atalanta game, where Celtic had maybe one on target, and with Ida, he has no pace, which will make the Villa defence very wary. Because if they had Maeda and Kyogo and Kuhn, both have pace, they can finish and they can score goals. Now we only have Ida, and he doesn't have as much pace. He can finish, but he hasn't produced it so far. And obviously with the defence, we've got to watch out for Ramsey, Bailey, Watkins. They're very much up against it. Right?
So you think a long night for Celtic by the sounds of it?
I think it'll be a very long night. I think we'll still be watching it tomorrow with our eyes closed.
Well, you know what? David references Atalanta and talking about, I think Celtic had, was it two shots on target or something? Mm-hmm. This is the sort of the beauty of football and how unpredictable it is, because we praise Celtic loads for Atalanta and we will continue to do. I'm not about to take it away, but we probably should acknowledge that you play that game again and Atalanta might score a few. You need to carry a bit of luck. The woodwork might need to be hit. The keeper might need to pull off a save that he otherwise wouldn't. So although they'll try and replicate that, you do also, in an ideal world, need to carry more of a threat, don't you?
Yeah, they do. You know, one of the callers mentioned it earlier about Adam Ida having to hold the ball up, you know, how important it's going to be, and Roscoe said it as well. And like you said, when you set out defensively against a team, you are going to need a little bit of luck. And of course, you know, they did get that in that game, and they might not get it again tonight. Your goalkeeper has to be at his best also, like you said. But, you know, Celtic can carry a threat as well. I'm not sitting here saying Celtic have to sit behind the ball for 90 minutes. They're a good footballing team. They really, really are. But they have to be mindful of what Aston Villa have. And also, you know, Aston Villa coming off the back of that defeat makes this an even tougher task for me, you know, because they'll be riled up, their fans are going to be there, the atmosphere will be brilliant, you know, between both sets of supporters.
And the fact that they need this is a problem?
Oh, massively, because it's one of those things, you know, in the Aston Villa dressing room, players will be sitting there saying, we need to win this to finish in the top eight. You know, Celtic players will be sitting there dressing room saying, no, we want to play well in this game and hopefully pick up a win. And there's a massive difference between, you know, wanting something and needing something. And that's what I think you'll see tonight. As I said, you know, they've got big players missing. We spoke about it, Maeda with the pace he has to go in behind, Kyogo as well. Those two things will be missing today. So they have to find a different way.
Ross, I mean, David mentioned some of the Aston Villa players that they'll have to stop. We've not really got to John McGinn yet. Do you think he'll play from the start? He's been injured. I think he came back small appearances? Think he'll start tonight?
To be honest, I think they'll go with Bailey wide right, to be honest. But what I will say is, you go back to that Atlanta game, I don't really want to keep going back, but I can guarantee you that if Celtic give up that amount of shots or that amount of chances that Atlanta had, Aston Villa will take two or three of them, because they are deadly. When they get chances, they take them. But no, I don't see McGinn playing tonight. I think they might go Watkins. They need to keep their eye on Morgan Rodgers. He's the one. Morgan Rodgers and the young boy, Jacob Ramsey, is it? Yeah, two very, very, very good young players who carry the ball well, create a lot of chances. That's the two that they've got to keep their eyes on.
Ollie Watkins, subject of a bid from Arsenal this evening. Is that right? Did I read that properly?
Yeah,
apparently not happy Aston Villa that it's come on the night of or the day of the game.
Yeah,
can that disrupt him?
Potentially, if the player wants to make the move and it's been rejected. And normally, listen, in this day and age, clubs speak to players before they make bids, otherwise they wouldn't waste their time. So there has to be some sort of interest from Watkins or his agent to say that, you know, he's interested in going to Arsenal. So, yeah, the timing for Aston Villa isn't what they want. For Celtic, it is, you know, especially if he's going to start tonight.
Surely you're in his ear at corners saying, you're never good enough for Arsenal.
I'll be telling him something else in his
just try and wind them up.
I'll just be saying to him, you want that move to happen, don't you? So probably just stay away from me. Try and take him off his game, mate. But then you've got Duran as well, he could start. You know, he's a lively centre forward and he's got plenty of pace and again, a point to prove. And if speculation is correct, an £80 million man.
David, how do you feel about the back line? So it's going to be Scales and Trusty, you'd imagine. Now, Carter Vickers is obviously first choice, but then again, Scales and Trusty played in that clean sheet against Atalanta, didn't they?
Yes, they did, and they did very well. Very, very unexpected. Particularly after the Dortmund game, which was so miserable, so to speak. If you've got to remember, Celtic are not a top-tier team by any means, because they can't afford expensive players such as the top eight in Europe can. They're only visiting for a short period of time. Their level is like the Europa League, where they can make an impact in Europe. But in the old format, they'd probably be outbidding by now.
David, but there is no, it's not the old format. Just enjoy it. Embrace it for what it is.
I don't think there's going to be many Celtic fans happy with that. They're only visiting for a short period.
I know what he means. That's selling club and all that stuff. But there we go. We went from one youthful, cheery, optimistic caller to the opposite end of the scale. Hugh Keevan's David is Hugh Keevan's type of guy.
Yeah, I'm kind of sitting together.
Gloomy look on things. Thank you very much. Anyway, to David on the phones. Give us a call if you so wish, because after we return, we will have team news. So we'll find out, is it Adamida, as everyone assumes? Will it be Yang? Will it be Palmer? Will it be someone else? Maybe the most interesting question is on the Aston Villa side. Will John McGinn play? Will he captain the team tonight? We will find out when we return after this.
Every day is payday.
Yes, make sure you're not missing out, because Stevie from Clydebank won £2,025 this afternoon on Every Day is Payday. He was a roofer. Tell you what, he's probably made a few quids on the loose tiles after last week anyway. And now he's got an extra £2,025. He's been daydreaming about how to spend the winnings and he's going to go on holiday.
I was actually sitting this morning dreaming when you're talking about it on the radio, and I'm like, what would I do if she phoned me today? And I'm like, oh, a wee holiday or something would maybe be nice, you know. Oh, what a day.
What a day. What a day. Says not only could you win £2,025 like Stevie tomorrow, but you could go a whole lot bigger and better. The biggest payday of your life potentially. This Friday, we're paying out £300,000. Make sure you text yes to 61025. If you do that, you get two entries for the price of one text, which is 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at clyde1.co.uk for 250, or you can call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are online. The lines close 5 p.m. Friday. Text yes to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Ross McCormick are here. An hour and 14 minutes, if you want to be precise, until kickoff in Birmingham, Aston Villa against Celtic. If there's one thing to like about the new Champions League format, it would be games like this. Can you believe it? These two sides have never, never met before, and tonight is the night. So get all your predictions in. We're talking about team lineups, all that sort of stuff. Still keen to hear from you Rangers fans a day in advance of Union Saint-Gilloise and everything else that went on at the press conference today, talking about Jeff Day, Diomande's appeal, etc. Give us your thoughts, please. But I believe we can go right now to Gabriel, who at Villa Park has the team. Gabriel, take it away.
Yes, certainly do, Gordon. The teams have just come out here at Villa Park, as you say, and Celtic make just three changes from that win in the Champions League last week. Of course, Celtic didn't play at the weekend, so 7 days rest for the players. And it is no space for Dyson Maeda. Of course, he's suspended. He's replaced on the wing by Yang. Kyogo has been sold to Rennes since the game. So Adam either leads the line, and Cameron Carter-Vickers has not travelled with a knock. So Liam Scales comes in to the back line. So three changes once again for Celtic. The team will be Schmeichel in goal. A defence of Alistair Johnston, Liam Scales, Austin Trusty and Greg Taylor. It's the same midfield three as last week, which is captain Callum McGregor, Arne Engels and Rea Hatate. And then a front three of Nicholas Kuhn, Adam Eder and Yang. The substitutes we have today, Sinisalo, Bain, Palmer, McCowan, Nabrotsky, Bernardo, Montgomery, Murray, Cummings and Ralston. I can quickly just give you the Aston Villa team as well, Gordon, which has just come out. And no space for John McGinn, the club captain and Scotland fan favourite. He is just amongst the substitutes. They line up Martinez, Cash, Konta, Bogard, Ding, Ramsey, Tielemans, Kamara, Bailey, Rogers and Watkins.
Well, what do you make of that team, Celtic fans? Give us a call right now. Quite disappointing from a storyline point of view. There's no John McGinn. That was the point when this draw was made, for goodness sake. We'll need to get him on at some point and see how it goes. Right, Gary is on the line. Gary, this is, we always have this when we've got a big game. People phone in with their thoughts on the team, and by the time we take the call, the team's been announced. So we'll throw it on you. You didn't want to see Yang playing, is that right?
Yeah, hi guys, good evening.
But he's in the team.
Yeah, I just heard the team there, and it says, oh my God. As soon as I hear Yang, I agree with Hugh Keevans on this one.
Oh, that's never a good place to be.
I think we're a man down already. I really do. I said to the producer there, I wanted to try and flood the midfield. Just play. Yeah, Engels, Bernardo, Hatate, McGregor, and try and flood them and try and stop them playing. Because Yang is a man down right away. Mm. Honestly, I just don't get it. But we don't realise now until big Dyson Maeda is a miss for us.
It's just with
he's tracking back as well. It's just the workload he puts in, and then you get Yang. Oh, Jesus Christ.
No, it's taking a bit of a turn. I think Hugh put Gary up to that.
Definitely.
Call, quite frankly. But see this notion though, because I've seen some other calls come through that maybe we haven't had the chance to take yet, or tweets, you know, talking about go 4-4-2 or do this or do that. I'm not saying it's wrong and people are entitled to their opinion, but when are we going to sort of cotton on to, for most managers in the modern game, but particularly Brendan Rodgers, they just don't really do that. They just don't turn up one day and go 4-4-2, or just turn up and play a Luke McCowan out wide or a Paulo Bernardo out wide. They have their system and they try and stick to that system by having two and three options in all of those positions, even if there is a drop off in quality. That he's trying to just keep it the way it normally is.
Yeah, exactly that. And you know, squads are built for systems as well. Brendan Rodgers would have built his squad based on the formation that they play. You know, to then go to a 4-4-2 or 3-5-2 or anything else, you're putting players in positions that they're not comfortable in being in, or that not their best positions. You know, just because they have a certain shape doesn't mean they have to always play gung-ho. We saw the way they play against Dortmund, they play against Atlanta, very, very different games. You know, they played very differently, both in the 4-3-3 formation. So again, I expect them to sit behind the ball in a 4-3-3, but they will have ways that they can hurt Aston Villa, or that they believe they can hurt Aston Villa. Yang gets a hard time of it, and it reminds me of Nicholas Kuhn last season. And people were calling up and saying, or sorry, the season before, saying, you know, everything
last
about
season.
Last season. Yeah. It was last season, yeah. You know, how he had came in, he doesn't look good enough, etc., etc. Now people's opinions have changed on him very, very quickly. I think Yang has to be given a run. Roscoe will tell you this, being an attacking player, the confidence is a massive thing for them. If they get a run in the team, you'll see the best of them. I believe he has something. I think he's shown more than enough in the glimpses that he can be a good player for Celtic. But as I said, you know, we're all so quick to write off people at this moment in time.
You're not sure, Ross?
I'm not sure. I agree with the point that there is something there with Yang. There is, but it's very sporadic, and it's one moment every, I don't even know how often. There is something there, but I think if he doesn't play wide and he floods the midfield, maybe puts a centre mid out there wing, they lose their identity a little bit. And then all of a sudden, how are you going to get up the pitch? It's up to the wingers and the fullbacks in this Celtic team to get them up the pitch. If they haven't got two wingers with a little bit of pace, I think they could struggle to get out. I'm on the fence a little bit with it, to be honest. I totally agree with the caller, and also with what Marv just said there. There's something there, but I don't think there's enough there to be
starting. How important is confidence, though, to an attacking player? You've been one. Surely when a manager puts his arm around you and says he believes in you, compared to a manager that you think you can get 60 minutes under every four or five games, you know, to get the best out of yourself in your career, would you need a run of games for that?
You do, yeah, as an attacker, but you only get them run of games if you're producing the goods, especially nowadays. There's huge finances involved, especially in the Champions League, for winning games and stuff. So if you've not shown enough in the games leading up to this, then more often than not, you're probably not going to deserve to start the game. So does he deserve to have the manager's arm around him and saying, you're my go-to man here tonight and all the rest of it? I think if he said that, he'd probably be lying to him, trying to butter him up. But I think it's probably the correct decision tonight to play Yang. For me, the only other option was Palmer. I think you've got to have two wide players tonight to try and get up the pitch, or it could be a long evening.
Doesn't sound like you're holding out much hope of a Celtic result, Gary.
No, I was speaking to my friends today, and I said if Yang plays, I goes, I would rather have Marvin Bartley in the left wing than I meet him.
No,
done that before.
Remember, Livy tried that in the cup final.
I would have played Lewis Palmer, because I was going to ask Marvin this: how many times have you seen Yang play this year? Really?
Only when it's been on TV, mate, or if I've been working a game that he's played in.
See, when you watch him, you see the tracking back, he passes the ball out of the pitch.
To be fair though, I'm not saying I agree, but is Palma any better? What's he done, Gary, that makes you think he's?
See, the thing is, Palma gives you an option going forward. Palma cuts in to the right hand side, out the left, cuts in and has a shot. Yang doesn't even attempt to do that. He tries to go down wide and then he'll fall over his own feet.
Gary, what did you think of Nicholas Kuhn last season? What was your opinion on him?
Well, there was a lot going on with Nicholas Kuhn, okay? Mm-hmm. But you could probably say the same. Like, I didn't think he was up to the scratch up to the mark last year as well. But there was a lot of options going on with his fitness, with his teeth, obviously, mm-hmm. then his weight. But Yang's had 2 years, 2.5 years to be better than what he has just shown just now, to be honest. And he's not shown it. And it's not that. See, when we're at the football as well, you hear everyone talking about him. Get him off the pitch. Get him off. He's hopeless.
I thought he was talking about our pundits there. Some have got issues with their teeth. Some have got issues with their weight. You could go on and on. Thank you to Gary, who doesn't sound like
cheers.
He's...
Cheers, mate.
Doesn't sound like he's looking forward to tonight very much. Poor Yang. Hope he's not listening. I'm sure he's not.
Send him to Turkey for his teeth. He'll come back someplace.
Come back a new man. Yeah. Right, let's play a big game of our own. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to win a signed ball, get a big dose of bragging rights, and only though if you can get one over on Marvin Bartley or Ross McCormack, who's still only played once.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Am I still top of the league?
Have you only played once?
Yes.
One game, one defeat, and he's top.
But we accidentally put it down as a win, It looks like he's top of the league, which is quite drastic. Anyway, you have to call before 7 o'clock, and you have to call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ross McCormack is here, so is Marvin Bartley, and the number you need is 0141 951 1025. Understandably, we've spent much of the show building up to Aston Villa against Celtic. We've given you the team news. It will be Liam Scales, as you would imagine, in for Carter Vickers. Yang replaces Maeda. Ida replaces Kyogo, who's gone. And as for Aston Villa, no John McGinn from the start, unfortunately. Hopefully we'll see him at some point. So give us a call if you want to keep going with the build up. We are about to hear from Philippe Clement, Rangers fan. So what's on your mind tonight? I think I read the Opta stats give you about a 10% chance of a top 8 finish in the Europa League. Is that enough to excite you, or are you just trying to play for places tomorrow evening? Away from the game against Union Saint-Gilloise, Philippe Clement today spoke about his relief, if that's the right word, at Diomande's successful appeal. Give us all your final thoughts on that. And what about this Jeff Day Chelsea business? There's quite the link that's come about. Philippe Clement says he is not aware of any official contact, or he wouldn't comment on it, but he does think the player can get to that level. Do you agree or not? Give us a call and we will play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. This is when we knew that Ross McCormack was an honest man, because last week I looked at the league table and I said, Ross, somehow you're top because you've played one and won one. And he said, no, I've played one but actually lost it. So they've corrected it this week and there you are, right? I'm bottom place. Brilliant. Anyway, Marvin, can't believe it. Still basically top, because no one can beat Andy Halliday. And other than that, that's your 85% level with Roger.
And
we don't mention that he starts on minus two.
No, we don't mention that at all. I'm above Roger.
Okay, David is in Motherwell. How are you, David?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
Not bad. Now, I know you're from Motherwell. Is that your team?
It is, yeah.
What's going on? Seriously, the place is in turmoil, David.
It's been a rough week for us.
Did you see it coming?
No, not at all. I know the style and that hasn't been brilliant recently. I don't understand people. If the abuse has been getting personal for Kettlewell and that, that's a bit out of order. But saying that, this season, I can't remember a season where injuries have ever been this bad. I really can't.
You're right, the list is quite incredible. I'll maybe pick your David's brains a bit more after Beat the Pundit. Let's get the main event done with, and we'll see what happens thereafter. Heads, it would be Marvin Bartley. Tails, it will be Ross McCormack, who everybody must want to play with that record.
Yeah, Ross don't need to go.
He played once, for goodness sake.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, no, it's heads.
Oh, yes. I'm not sitting here next week.
Yeah, it's Marvin Bartley up against Ross McCormack. So, I know.
Me against Ross guy.
Up against David. In Motherwell. So we'll give Marvin some greatest hits radio to listen to, David. And is this your first time?
First time on, aye.
Okay, I'm sure you've heard it. 30 seconds, answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okay.
Let's go, your 30 seconds going on the clock. And your time starts now. What club did Martin O'Neill manage after Celtic?
Sunderland.
Aberdeen's Dimitar Mitov is from which country?
Serbia.
How many penalties has James Tavernier scored for Rangers, 54 or 68?
54.
Where did Celtic get Jota from originally, the first time?
Pass.
In what year did Kieran Tierney join Arsenal?
2019.
Who did John McGinn join Aston Villa from?
Hibs.
What was the score in last night's game between Hamilton Accies and Raith Rovers?
3-0.
Okay, let's bring him back. Marvin Bartley, can decent you hear tune us?
Unbelievable, yeah. That's the best I've heard.
What are you listening to?
I don't know the name of it.
Oh, can baby, if you want me, you got to
show
me
love.
Yeah.
Is that about you, is it?
Yeah, it was decent.
I tell you what, big weekend for Ross.
Yeah?
Did it happen Saturday night in here when I wasn't here?
I met Josh.
Did you meet
Barry
your hero?
Did you?
I met him, yes, I did.
That's why you're smiling so much today.
Yeah, that's me, I've made it.
Ever since Ross started doing this show, he kept saying, do you know, I've never met George Bowie. I love George Bowie. And I said, well, he doesn't hang about at night here because he's in the morning. And I said, he's done a Friday night show. Somehow we've never met him on the way out the door. I said, if you're ever in on a Saturday, it's a guarantee we switch studios with him at 6 o'clock. Mark Wilson off at the weekend. Ross got his big call up and he finally met his man.
Fanboy, I'm not invited back. George, keep him away from me.
He's not allowed in
it. You seriously, like, on a serious note, said that when you were down south and stuff and locked out all that, you said the GBX was your, like, sanity.
Mate, that kept me going, honestly. Friday, Saturday night, I was in the apartment. I wasn't allowed to go into Aston Villa's training ground. I had to stay away for obvious reasons. And then, yeah, Friday night, Saturday night, just in the games room playing pool, having a beer, listening to GBX.
Class.
That's class,
man.
It really is. Anyway, back to Beat the Pundit. Marvin, are you ready?
Yep.
Your time starts now. What club did Martin O'Neill manage after Celtic?
Aston Villa.
Dimitar Mitov of Aberdeen is from which country?
Romania.
How many penalties has James Tavernier scored for Rangers? 54 or 68?
54.
Where did Celtic get Jota from originally the first time?
Oh, Real Valladolid.
In what year did Kieran Tierney join Arsenal?
2020.
Who did John McGinn join Aston Villa from?
Hibs.
What was the score in last night's game between Hamilton and Wraith?
3-0 to Wraith.
What do you think, David?
Yeah, I think I might have been a wee chance, although there were a couple of guesses in there.
Ooh, Marvin,
you and me both.
You've not lost in a while.
No, I was.
Your 85% win rate. I'm worried for you here.
I'm worried for you.
Right, okay. Martin O'Neill went from Celtic. Next club was Aston Villa. 1-0 Marvin Bartley. I'm devastated. Dimitar Mitov. I thought, I'm disappointed in you.
Bulgarian.
He's Bulgarian.
Yeah.
He is Bulgarian. He's got 9 caps, yeah. So none of you got it. 1-0 Marvin.
That's rubbish.
Both of you went 54 penalties for James Tavernier. It is the other one. Mm-hmm. 68. So still 1-0 to Marvin. Low scoring affair, this.
Don't mind it as long as I'm winning.
Really, really low scoring. Where did Celtic get Jota from originally?
Benfica.
It's Benfica. Yeah.
Was it?
By the way, get me on.
It's easy saying
that. I think I might have won this one.
He had a loan spell at the club you mentioned, but yeah, it's Benfica. Okay. So still 1-0 to Marvin. This is incredible. Kieran Tierney joined Arsenal in 2019, David.
Yeah.
It's an equaliser. Because Kieran Tierney's from David's neck of the woods.
Oh, okay.
Got that right.
David.
Easy one. If Marvin hadn't got this, I'd be disappointed. John McGinn went from Hibs to Villa, famously, not to Celtic. Remember that?
Yeah.
That's Hugh Keevan's favourite topic.
Installments.
Who was the? What was the score last night between Hamilton and Wraith? You both knew it. 3-0 Wraith, which means we're level. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah. 3-3, is it? Happy with that. You didn't seem sure, Marvin. What are you confused about?
I'm not.
You got Villa, McGinn,
yeah,
and Wraith. He got Villa, Wraith, and 20. He got McGinn, yeah, Wraith, yeah, and 2019. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we're going to a tiebreaker. Okay. Here's the deal. I will read the question, David. I'll get Marvin to write his answer down, and then give me your attempt. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Quite simple. How many male players have 50 caps or more for Scotland? So Marvin Bartley, write it down. How many men's players have got 50 caps or more for Scotland? Okay, what are you going for, David?
I'll go for 36.
Okay, one of you's only 3 away. I'll tell you
definitely
that.
Definitely not me.
What does that mean?
I must try and get close.
Marvin's gone for 13.
50 caps is a lot.
David's gone 36.
No.
How many did you get, Ross?
How caps. Many would I guess? Or me? I think actually 13.
There you go.
How many would you have guessed?
I wouldn't have said it was as many as... probably I went 20.
What do you two know? It's 39. Well is done, it? David.
Wow.
Yes. I've brought Marvin down a peg or two. He's been too good recently.
That's heartbreaking.
But that's why I'm bored of the league.
I thought he was going to hammer me.
No. Yeah. Slipped
well
up.
Done, mate.
I'm disappointed in you there.
Yeah, I should have got that.
Should have been better.
Should have won, yeah. Should have got 4.
Right, give me some thoughts on who next, David, is your Motherwell manager.
Well, since you're looking at the bookie odds and that, I think somebody like John McGlynn would be good to get somebody like him a chance again in the top flight. But it's whether somebody like that would want to leave with the likes of Falkirk when they're definitely looks likely they're coming up next season anyway. That I quite fancy Scott Brown as well. Somebody like that give him a chance.
What are you?
I think we need a bit of a change of direction. Anyway, I think it's been a tough watch at times.
So see on that, right? Because there's this whole abuse thing and debate that's going on. See, to park that, if you had the choice, would you have got rid of Stuart Kettlewell as manager just now?
No, I wouldn't have got rid of him, no. Because, as I say, it's been a difficult watch recently, but as I said before, the amount of injuries is absolutely ridiculous. You know? I cannot remember anything like it. So it felt like, it feels this season, when you go to the games, when it feels like we're going to like press on and start improving, you get another two players with mid to long term injuries again, and you just can't get anywhere.
What do you make of those names that have been mentioned? I've seen those. John McGlynn's that obvious because he's like the outstanding manager currently in the division below. Could you even tempt him away from that?
I don't think he would go from Falkirk, and not at this moment in time. You know, like you said, them sitting top of the Championship. It's been a project he's been a part of for a little while now. Obviously got promoted from League One last season. Can they do it again to get into the Premier League? I think it's a fair-sized club as well, Falkirk. So if they were to get promoted, I think, you know, he would be very interested in staying there. I think he'd be interested in staying there now because, as like I said, it's a good football club. So I think that'd be a difficult one for Motherwell to prize him away.
Then the other ones that you look at are the young, slightly smaller club. So that's where Scott Brown comes into it. Could you see something like that happening?
He was linked with St Johnstone as well, wasn't he? And ended up signing a new contract. So, yeah, I'd lean more towards that one than the John McGlynn one, but Scott Brown, Ayr United, a team on the up, a club on the up, definitely just announced a new training ground as well. So, yeah, these are difficult ones to kind of prize away. And listen, Scott Brown obviously was down at Fleetwood and lost his job there. I think, you know, the people at Ayr United really, really trust him, and that goes a long, long way for a manager.
I've been fascinated, Ross, because this whole debate has centred around, at the beginning of it anyway, Motherwell not playing as an attractive brand of football as people would want. Now, maybe this is just me, maybe I'm wrong. Having watched the team many years, I think I need to go back to the team you played in to think of a Motherwell team that played genuinely really good attractive football. I thought we always just sort of knew what we were, and you kind of crack on now. I'm being slightly tongue-in-cheek, and there have been other teams. I think Stuart McCall had some quite attractive teams and so on, but you were part of a really good one, weren't you? You guys played proper football that early stage, didn't you?
We did, yeah. And that was Mark McGee, because if you take that from Maurice Malpass beforehand, the year before, we finished second bottom. Was it second bottom or third bottom? We were absolutely struggling, and Matt McGee came in and just turned it around basically in the blink of an eye. And we went from being this sort of, I don't want to say long ball team, but direct passes, that style of play, to then Matt McGee come in and we were popping it around the back, playing balls round the corner into midfield and stuff. We were a very good watch. But yeah, I don't know where I stand on that one either, because I understand the fans want to feel, thrilled during the games and be excited about how their team play and stuff. But realistically, they've got the 10th, what?
Well, roundabout then, yeah.
10th budget and 10th biggest budget in Scotland, and they're 5th in the league. So I think, you know, it's about just accepting where you are and being happy with it.
I suppose though, David, you would say, and lots of others would say, you don't think you'll be fifth for long the way things are going. That's what people are quite rightly pointing out, aren't they?
No, but on the style of play, I don't mean like, it doesn't need to be like unbelievably fast flowing attractive football, but see, just being able to kill teams off and that, because that seems to be, I can't remember the last time I was at a game where we weren't clinging on. Even when we're winning, we're absolutely clinging on with our fingernails right at the end of every game. So I wish we could just kill teams off and be slightly more comfortable, because it just feels like we're always hanging in there.
Yeah. What do you make of the overall? We've gone through it a lot, but I'm keen to get your thoughts, because you may have been quite you're a young coach who's had a crack at management and so on. And Ross, you've played at the club, and I wonder what you've made of the way this has come about, and this abuse angle, and it's now grown arms and legs, and it's got a bit ugly, because the Motherwell fans, I think, feel quite offended, because quite rightly they're saying, well, it's not like every single Motherwell fan has gone and hounded this guy out the door, and that's kind of the way it's been portrayed by some people, which is obviously not the case. But what do you think of the way it's happened?
Yeah, like you say, it's not every fan, you know, that much is clear. But it's one of those things now that, you know, people think they can go into football stadiums and say what they want to who they want. And it's unfortunate. He won't be the only manager or player that's kind of received this level of abuse, but when it starts to go across to your family, then there's a problem, you know, and your family don't want to go to your place of work. Well, they should be proud of him to go and watch him, you know, manage a team in the top flight. and being a young manager himself. When that stops, when the enjoyment kind of stops from it, then I'm not at all surprised that he's done it. And I don't think he'll be the first manager to have done it. He's obviously come out and publicly said it, but I don't think he'd be the first manager who's walked away, you know, for these reasons, and he won't be the last. And I think people have to, a responsibility. Yes, you pay your money. Yes, you can voice your opinion. But there's a way of doing it. You know, if I came into this studio, Gordon, and I didn't think you were doing your job particularly well, and I was shouting in your face and abusing you or your family, you know, people
would be on Twitter recently.
Yeah, you know, people would be like, you know, what's going on there? So, yeah, it doesn't make it okay because you put on your club's colours and you think you can do stuff like that. But as I said, you know, it's a small number of people that, you know, can do these things, but a small number making those noises still make his family uncomfortable. And, you know, it's been enough for see a man walk away from a job that he clearly loves.
What are you making of the names linked with it, Ross?
I quite like them. I like the Scott Brown one, to be honest. Marvin said there he's building something and he's looking to get air up. But realistically, what level are you looking to take air to? It's probably the level that Motherwell are at just now. So, but I think what he said there is pretty spot on in the fact that, you know, he had a tough time down at Fleetwood, Scott Brown. He's come back up. Air have showed a bit of confidence in him, backed him. And I think he's going on his playing career anyway. Certainly, he seems like a loyal servant. I can't see him leaving here to go to Motherwell. But the other one is McGlynn. But it's the exact same argument. Do you leave someone who's on the up to potentially go to someone who, I'm not saying that they're going to be on the way down, but they might have reached their ceiling.
What about Neil Lennon, David? Would he interest you?
Possibly. I'm not sure how that would be received. Things I've heard in the past and stuff, but I think he did a good, decent job at Hibs.
Yeah. They had good players, though, like me.
Well, that's a good point, David. If he can
coming out of retirement,
definitely.
If
not.
He can polish up guys like this, maybe he's the man for us. Thank you, David and Motherwell, on the phones there. What are you thinking? You want to add to that debate? You can do. Rangers fans, when we return, we're going to hear from Philippe Clement. So give us a call, please.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Ross McCormick are here. 35 minutes or so to go until kickoff at Villa Park. We'll build up to that one, and we're about to turn attention to building up to Rangers game tomorrow, hearing from Philippe Clement and hopefully hearing from you, Rangers fans. Call us right now. The Crazy Pony has sent in a full-time teaser for you, which means it's quite a difficult one. Who are the last seven players involved in direct transfer activity, he says. So he's obviously covering his back there. That sounds like loans, etc. are included. Who are the last seven players involved in direct transfer activity between Celtic and Aston Villa?
Scott Sinclair?
Yes. Well done. Ross, any that spring to mind? I don't think there would be any from your time, was there?
Nah. Scott Sinclair was. I was at the club with him.
How were you? At Villa?
Yeah, a couple of weeks.
Okay. Did you get signed and that's why he had to leave?
I didn't want to say that. What a bad decision that was.
Listen, you've been harsh on yourself. The Celtic fans then have got Ross McCormick to thank. There we go. Without him arriving at Villa, you never get Scott Sinclair. There's the sliding doors moment you never knew existed. Right, any more? They're quite tough, I have to say. Who's like the most... Because we tried our best to make it you, Ross, but you've... We couldn't quite tick the boxes. Who would be the poster boy for this fixture tonight, Celtic and Villa? Who's the one guy that's held right up there by both fan bases? Brilliant contribution to both.
Martin O'Neill.
Player. So remember, we're talking about transfers. That's not quite what I was thinking. Oh, don't, you've set that stupid laugh off.
Oh, that's a close one.
Stop that laugh.
Oh, man.
Who's the guy? I told you, one guy Chris always Sutton. Complains. He's not on the list. Would he be in the last seven? Did he go straight from...
I don't know.
Maybe he did go from Celtic to Villa.
Crazy Pony.
But anyway, never mind. He's not on your list.
Can I have another guess, though?
Yeah.
Dion Dublin?
Nope.
Perfect.
Come on, yeah, I need you to get this one that I'm trying to lead you down the line of, oh, Chris Sutton went to Birmingham after Celtic.
Poster boy for
Yeah, so as in like I was joking with you earlier, you should do the halftime draw. Who would be the actual guy? Because he's loved by Celtic fans.
Stan Petrov.
There we go. Okay, we got two down and another five to get. I'm confident we'll get them before the end of the show. Okay, I think. Let's hear a bit from Philippe Clement, Rangers fans. Perfect time for you to get on board. Give us a call right now. What are you thinking about the game tomorrow? What do you make of the successful appeal? Well, no, you're still laughing at that. Martin Neal shout. What do you make of Mohamed Diamandé's appeal? What do you make of Jeff Day linked with Chelsea? Anything else, give us a call. Let's start on that appeal, just because it's the first time we've had the chance to speak to Philippe Clement, so he was bound to give his reaction, and he says it is just common sense.
Yeah, I don't know if it's successful. I think it's just common logic, and it was common logic for everybody after the game. You guys also were directly convinced about that, so... It's a normal thing. It's good that there is a good system that you can appeal. It's good also that VAR did their job during the game and they were clear that it was not a red card. So it's good that, that the system works. Of course, it's a big difference now when it's the last 2 minutes of the game. And this happens and it doesn't have any influence on the result. It would have been totally different, of course, if this would have happened in the first half and you need to play a long time with 10 players because then it impacts the game also. But that was not the case, so I think everybody's happy about it.
Yeah, I agree with his comments, definitely. You know, like you said, the positive things are that VAR did its job, that it's been overturned and, you know, it didn't have any great influence on the game as well. You know, I think 99% of people knew it was the wrong decision. At the time it was made, but you know, I think Philippe Clement actually speaks really, really well there, and I'm glad it wasn't one of those things that happened in the first half and the player sent off and then Rangers go on to lose the game. So yeah, minimal impact to the game, and you know, we've got the right thing in terms of it being, you know, overturned now.
I think there's a how do I say it, like a bigger point here in that how can one of our top officials get sent to the screen and still, after seeing it, still agree with the original decision. I think it's absolutely incredible.
I think we always kind of bang your head in a brick wall eventually on this stuff, Marvin, because I think most people agree with that from Ross, but and I know people don't like to hear it, and people would much rather come up with a mad theory about it, and that's just what keeps people occupied, I think, in Scottish football and elsewhere. But until such times as you are asking a human brain and human eyes to deal with these situations, that just will happen. It just will. We've seen it before, and again, we like to pretend it only happens to our big clubs, or only happens to us when you talk about, you know, your own team. But actually, it's very similar. It's extremely similar to the Dan Casey one against Kilmarnock. Chris Graham, John McGinn, who we mentioned, was tweeting about that, and everybody that day is going, no, how can you? But you just can. It just is what it is. And that's why when VAR was brought, I suppose it's now just added an extra layer. If the ref misses something, VAR should catch it. In this occasion, if VAR misses it, you then hope that the appeals panel catches it. Now, clearly, Philippe Clement's right. That is only going to bail you out on occasions like this. If it's a match-altering decision, you can't go back and replay the game. But I used this example last night, and it's only a loose one because I know he wasn't sent to the monitor, but did I see today that all the hoo-ha about Arsenal's red card, did that win its appeal?
Yeah, it's won its appeal.
It's going to happen. Yeah. It is just going to happen. And I know people think that they can cure this by weeding out refs because they've got this theory and that theory about why they did it and why they don't. But it's never going to change.
Yeah, it's a mistake for us because obviously, like we say, we see the camera angles and everything else. One thing I will say for the referee, Nick Walsh, in that position, he's got an angle that none of us have seen. So if he's seen it in a certain way and he believes that the player slapped at him and then he comes across and then he sees that same motion, then he's saying, well, no, that's just confirming what I've seen. As I said, the angles that I've seen of it, it was never a red card. And obviously the people on the panel that sit on the board also think exactly the same. But yeah, it's just a human making a mistake. Listen, refereeing games is extremely difficult. As I said, I've done it in training and stuff. It is a hard, hard job. And like I said, he's made a mistake. Other referees have made mistakes. Like you say, the Dan Casey one, referee makes a mistake. And it's just one of those things. Yes, it's not impacted the game. Just move on from it.
Stephen is about to move on, but he's got a point to make first, which is why we're here. Stephen, what do you think?
Good evening, Paro, dear Ross, Marvin, Gordon.
How are you? Good, thank you.
Just on the back of that, Marvin, to be honest with what you're saying, the referee, yes, I believe he has made a mistake. However, if that incident had happened, as Philip Clement there said, if that had happened at a different period of the game and the result was different, then do you not think that with that referee making that mistake, showing the red card, the VAR getting on board, he then keeps his decision and then it goes to an appeal afterwards? You know, if that, and now that appeal's been over, there should be something said to the referee about that decision, bearing in mind that he's put that decision in place. It's then been checked and checked again, but this is now the third time it's been checked and it's now been overruled. So do you not think that there should be some sort of, I don't know what you want, whether you want to call it some sort of fine or reprimand or whatever. I don't know, we've seen it before with the two referees in the cup final, and you don't really want to start going down that road. But if you're making decisions like that, and if that had impacted the game differently, do you not think there should be something put in place for referees at that stage?
I think he will be spoken to.
To be clear, we can't fine referees for making mistakes.
Of course not. But I think, you know, I imagine that Willie Collin would have said to him, what did he see? Nick Walsh think he saw, and explain his view on it. And then, listen, at the end of the day, we've all seen the angles. It's not a red card. So whatever he thought had happened, he was clearly wrong. But as I said, it's one of those things. For me, it's human error. And it might be, like you said, similar to the two in the cup final when they were then, you know, kind of demoted or taken off again. That might happen, I'm unsure. But I do think it's a genuine mistake. I'm glad it didn't impact the game. I'm glad it didn't impact the score because, you know, there'd been an even bigger kind of story to it. And if there's one kind of silver lining for Nick in this situation, is that Rangers went on to win the game and it was in the last 2 minutes of it. It's now been overturned, which, you know, everyone agrees that it was a wrong decision that was made, Stephen.
I think as well the difficulty is that, and I understand the sort of desire for, punishment, if that's the right word, or someone to blame, and I get that, and people always use the analogy of if you underperform at work, you know, there would be, but then at the same time it would have to be measured. You know, I think the example that's been used before, if we want to talk about Rangers, if Cyril Dessers misses a sitter, eventually Philippe Clement might take him out of the team, but he won't come into his press conference after the game and go, see him, what an absolute dud he is, you know, he'll not be playing for me next week. So it's always, refereeing will work similarly. Chris Graham did go down to League One after the Dan Casey one.
Yeah.
The cup final officials went down, and again people say, yeah, but not for long enough. Fine. But at the same time, if you're Nick Walsh this week, you've had the full country pretty much ridiculing your decision. You've had, I'd imagine, and I don't know this, I know people accuse me of being his best pal, but your boss, Willie Collum, telling you what he thinks privately. Again, I'd imagine Willie Collum will then do that publicly in the next. And you may even, and I don't know, you may be stood down for a game. I don't know if that has financial implications. Do you get paid less for a championship game than a Premier League game? So why would you bring that upon yourself? You wouldn't. And even having gone through that, does it make you see that incident different the next time? I don't think so. Because how would it?
Yeah, it's one of those things.
Just a judgment call in a moment.
Yeah, I think that, you know, he might be told, though, once you do go across to the screen, you know, you have to
Let your eyes
lead
points.
You rather than, you know, your mind kind of lead off what I thought I saw.
Of course there'll be coaching points.
I think those sorts of things. But that's all you can kind of do. Like you say, coaching points, he can be given those. And if he continues to make those sorts of mistakes, then, you know, it'll probably be one of those things that, you know, you are demoted for a little bit longer. But what I don't want to see is, listen, we need referees for the game. That much is simple, right? They're going to make mistakes. Unfortunately, when it's one of our big two, it is, you know, made a much, much bigger story. But as I said, I'm just delighted it didn't impact the scoreline of the game and Rangers still went on to win the game of football, because I think it would have been a lot, lot worse if Nick Walsh had it, you know, really impacted the game and they've drawn it or lost it and he sent someone off in the first half.
And I do want, maybe it's just a social media thing, maybe it doesn't matter that much anyway, but clearly we do have this set up here, Ross, with two massive teams and then everything's viewed through the lens of that. So if you're a Rangers fan, everything goes through that lens. If you're a Celtic fan, because the Dan Casey one in Kilmarnock is the exact same. It might even be worse, right? But it's the exact same. I won't split hairs over what was worse. But nobody Absolutely nobody, not one single person, went on social media that week and said, oh, Chris Graham should never ref Motherwell again, or Chris Graham has got it in for Motherwell. You just don't hear that. But because we've got these two big teams, that's inevitably where the conversation goes. And don't get me wrong, Stephen's not saying that. It's more of an observation about the way these things are responded to in social media these days.
Yeah, it's just the Celtic Rangers always command a much bigger audience. That's just how it is. That's how it is. But I go, but I've said for a long, long time, and I stand by it. There's a lot of people who probably disagree with it, but I'm very much one. If it's possible, and it's probably not, take VR out the game. Let the referees make the decision. Because I tell you what, see, Mr. Walsh made that decision on the game at the weekend, and he's got it wrong. He can come out after it and say, oh, I'm sorry, I got it wrong. But now we're getting him to go and look at a screen and he's getting it wrong again. There's just so much more, just so much more scrutiny on it.
But I suppose the counter is...
You can't
is,
even celebrate goals now with VAR. You're waiting him offside. Has something happened?
The counter to that, though, I think, is 9 times out of 10, though, when he does go to the monitor, he gets he would correct the mistake, wouldn't he? In theory.
Yes.
And then everybody would go, oh, I'm glad VAR's there, because it's just... Just on that one, I take your point. I'm not saying it's perfect, but what do you think of tomorrow, Stephen? Generally, away from this stuff, you got high hopes for Rangers tomorrow? Stephen, you still with us? Oh, Stephen? I thought he was there. No? Gone? Okay, never mind.
He's gone.
What are you thinking of it tomorrow?
Listen, it's a big game, isn't it? You know, one that Rangers are definitely capable of winning. You know, we know how good they have been throughout this whole tournament, obviously playing Man United last week. And, you know, unfortunately losing that game goal right at the end meant they lost the game. They definitely deserve something from it. It was a depleted team. You know, the team that ended the game you'd have never expected to have seen. But yeah, listen, I think Rangers can go tomorrow and win that game of football, definitely. And they'll have that belief and, you know, they'll see where that ends up.
I think they will win it, to be honest. I think the Union team will come. Probably a long time since they had an atmosphere like that at Ibrox. We know what Celtic Park and Ibrox are like on big European nights. I expect them to be the 12th man and get Rangers over the line.
What did I say? I think I read 10% chance of Rangers going top 8. Philippe Clement
saying... Turn that computer off.
Philippe Clement saying today he's not, you know, he's not going to kind of pay attention during the game. Mm-hmm. Just try and win by as much as you can and see where that takes you.
Yeah, definitely. Exactly that. Go and take care of what you can control. You know, go and win that game of football, whether it's by one goal or four, whatever else it might be. Just go and win, because if we don't win the game, then we can't finish in that kind of top section. We have to win this game of football. So that's all the players need to be concentrating on. Go and win it. And as Roscoe said there, you know, the atmosphere and the fans will be the 12th man for them and drag them through. And hopefully get two positive results in 2 days for, you know, both the Scottish clubs.
Let's get your thoughts on this, because I don't know if you saw reports. Well, we spoke about it in the show a couple of days ago. Chelsea being rumoured to be keeping an eye on Jeffty. Here is what Philippe Clement had to say on that.
100% sure, yes. So I know that kind of clubs. I had some players going there or similar clubs. Maybe one day... If he makes a normal evolution, what he's been doing now, I think one day he will be ready for that. But for the moment, it's too early, and I think this is a really good place for him to develop. So he's totally not busy with all these rumors. I had the same in Genk. Trossard could have left also earlier in Genk to go to a Premier League. We had talks with him about that, but staying, also other players like Sander Berge. So it's important to do the right step at the right moment, because you see also a lot of players making a step higher and not being ready, and then losing themselves because they're not playing afterward because they were not ready.
Chelsea, Jeffty, what do you make of those links? Can he get to that level? The manager thinks he can.
First of all, I've got to say, I think that's probably the best that I've heard Philippe Clement speak. So much sense there. He is right. You can make that jump too early. But doesn't it just show you how much finances are down in England? Chelsea have got Ben Chilwell there, left back. He's in the under-21 squad, earning hundreds of thousands of pounds a week. And they're going to go and sign another left back. It's absolutely ridiculous. But no, fair play. Can he get to that level? I'll answer it. In my head, it doesn't look as if he can right now. He looks, you know, decent going forward and a good athlete breaking lines when he runs with the ball. But just defensively, he's going to have to do a lot to get that to get to that level defensively, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think the defensive side of the game will mean that he would really, really struggle to make it to that level. Obviously, he's still such a young player and, you know, in 2 years' time, that can all be improved. But we've seen a couple of goals this season. I think one against Motherwell in the semi-final. You know, there's been a couple of other occasions where...
But listen, just because you can't track Andy Halliday...
that was Andy's desire to
He's
get
tough
there.
To keep, yeah. keep a hold of.
His body position at times as well is, you know, he kind of reminds me of like a left winger when they're put into a full-back position. As Roscoe said, they're really good at driving forward with the ball, you know, in getting to final third, taking players on. But when it comes to your own defensive third, you know, at times he can... He's seen really, really lacking. At times, balls are coming to the box and he's watching the ball rather than his man. And these are small things when you've been a defender for many years. But it just seems that it's something that's kind of escaped him. But as I said, he's still a young player. But, you know, Chelsea in the near future, I'd be extremely surprised. I'd be shocked if that was, you know, one that was happened.
Yeah. What do you think, Rangers fans? Give us a call right now, please. How are you doing in this teaser? We're looking for the last seven players involved in direct transfer activity between Celtic and Aston Villa. That's the question that the Crazy Pony sent in. So if you want to submit a question for the full-time teaser, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. Scott Sinclair, Stylian Petrov.
And then have you got to go back a bit for the next?
So-so. No,
Was Mark Birchill?
Nope.
No.
What about Petrov's team? That sort of Martin O'Neill team, what other members of that team maybe came from Villa?
Did Bobby Petter?
No. Same area of the pitch as him, though.
Same area.
So if Martin O'Neill was... If you were picking, like, the ultimate Martin O'Neill Celtic team, who'd be on the left?
Bobby Petter?
No.
I agree, Bobby Petter.
I disagree. You would know more than me, to be fair, but I disagree.
Alan Thompson?
Yes. Oh, Alan Thompson. We'll get the rest of the answers when we return.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Final part of tonight's show. We're going to go back to Villa Park very soon for the final build-up. Quickly on this teaser, seven players who've been involved in transfer activity between Celtic and Villa. Either way, you've got Scott Sinclair, Stylian Petrov, Alan Thompson.
Tommy Johnson?
Yes.
Didier Gat?
No.
No. Paul Elliott?
Nope. Not in the last seven.
Whoa. There's one you said off there that you've not said on there.
Oh, Sean Maloney.
I was
waiting on you taking it.
Right, we're about to go back to Villa Park. Let's squeeze one more call in with Mark, who's in Barrow. How are you, Mark?
How are we doing? All right, Gordon.
What are you thinking tonight, Mark?
You all right, mate?
Just a wee quick one on that, the Jeffrey thing. I think he's still a bit young to be talking about going to Chelsea. You just need to iron out a few mistakes for him and then hopefully in a couple of... He's only 20, isn't he? So give him 2 or 3 years, turn him into Arthur Newman and get more money for him, because I think Chelsea is just trying to pay any pinch and trying to get him early.
So keep him for a bit, if you can.
Keep him for a bit.
Okay. You see the logic there?
Yeah, I agree. I think he has a lot of development, as I said, the defensive side of the game, that he needs to sharpen up, and Clement said it and Mark said it there as well. Listen, as an athlete, definitely, you know, in terms of how quick he is and driving forward with the ball, but, you know, you have to be able to defend as well, and no disrespect to the players that he plays against domestically, that goes up another notch, you know, week in, week out when you're playing for a team like Chelsea in the English Premier League. So, yeah, he's going to definitely need to develop, and you know, it's a hard thing to do, but like you said, age is on his side, and another couple of years he might be better defensively, and it gives him more of a chance of potentially getting that move.
What else you got in your mind, Mark?
Well, another point on the red card for the VAR thing. Nobody's actually talked about, are we actually going to get to hear about VAR, and Mick Walsh actually spoke and said like we did in the cup final?
Probably. I must admit we don't have a running order yet for the next VAR review, but I'd be amazed if that one isn't in it. Every other high profile incident we've had this season has been in it. I think it will be. I always sort of say this, but maybe Mark can tell us, Marvin. I always sort of wonder what they think they'll hear. Once you've heard it, you know, in previous incidents, I'd imagine it's going to go something like, Nick Walsh says, I think that's a red card because he's contacted them in the face, and the VAR will say something like, Nick, come and have a look because I don't think there's enough, or enough force or a lot of contact, at which point Nick Walsh will come over and presumably, because he sticks with his decision, he'll say, no, I think I can see enough there, I'm going to stick with, you know, what else could there be? That's always, it's never as exciting as you think it's going
to
be.
People always expect there to be some other conversation that's gone on and there being a big argument, but I think basically what you said there will have happened.
No, what people really think you're going to hear is, go on, just stick with it, it'll be a laugh, keep the phones busy.
And like we said, you know, the only angle that Nick had at the time is one that we will never be able to see, but from every angle that's been available to us as the public, it doesn't look like a red card. There's a reason he stuck with it, you know, as Mark said there, hopefully we will see it on the next review show about it, but yeah, listen.
Is that not the difficulty, Mark? Because, you know, you think it's a big mistake like we all do, but because it's such a big mistake, there's nothing you're going to hear that would satisfy you, is there?
No, but the thing is with that, a lot of people are saying that he only got the one view for the VAR. They never showed him all the views. Mm. So if that's the case, then that gets him off the hook, doesn't it? He's seen it the way he's seen it, and that's it. But if they've showed him all the angles, then...
I suppose I know what you mean. Thing. Yeah. But then you kind of get... if you watch the TV coverage anyway, you see what angles VAR are looking at. You might see it in a bit more detail. It's a fair question. Thank you to Mark in Barrow, which leaves us just about ready to build up to the game at Villa, because it will be filling up nicely. What are you thinking, score prediction wise?
I'll let Marv go first.
I think either 2-0 Villa or 3-1 Villa.
Okay, convincing-ish for you. Same, Ross?
Pretty much, yeah. I think if Aston Villa get the first goal, I think the actual score line will depend on how quickly they get that first goal. I think if they get an early goal, it could be an extremely long night. I'm going to say Celtic score. I'm going to go 3-1 Aston Villa.
Can you imagine how big an occasion this would be if there was, like, I'm not saying there's nothing riding on it, but I mean, if Celtic's entire European involvement was hinging on this tonight, I suppose for Villa it kind of is, because they'll be looking for top eight, won't they?
Yeah.
And so I'm not taking away from the occasion, but can you imagine Celtic having to go there and get something? I suppose they've got that slight cushion, don't they?
Yeah, the nerves would have been a lot worse on the callers calling in, and there'd have been a lot more people watching it behind their sofa, where now they're going to just enjoy the game. The Celtic fans down there, there's obviously fans down there as well without tickets that have gone to like the fans ground or whatever it is, and they look in a buoyant mood. It's been a brilliant, you know, campaign for them so far in this competition, and having that playoff, as we said, is that security. If they can go there and win the game, fantastic. But either way, you know, the fans will enjoy today's game, and I'm sure the players will as well.
Yeah, I mean, we've already given you the Celtic team. We'll try and go back to Gabriel, just having one or two issues connecting with them there. Do you expect Celtic to... Is it going to try and replicate that Atalanta performance? Is that the way you see it? A bit more compact, a bit more pragmatic? And is it, that word though, is that just because of what the opposition do? Or are you actually choosing to do it that way?
I feel as if Brendan Rodgers probably won't set out for it to go that way. I feel as if Aston Villa might force Celtic into doing that. But it's still a fantastic opportunity. Good, you know.
Gabriel, I think we've got you. Take it away. Give us the latest build-up before we get to kick off.
Yes, Gordon, what an atmosphere in a packed-out Villa Park. The flamethrowers are on. There is not an empty seat in the house. Celtic fans making plenty of noise up in the corner, and the Villa fans managing somehow to drown them out as well. It's the Mayhem match day, all 18 games on at the same time. We know Celtic are through, but where will they finish? They're currently 18th, but we'll have to keep our eyes on the ever-changing league table all night to see who they face in the playoff round. Three changes for Brendan Rodgers' side. Cameron Carter-Vick is injured. Thiago has left for France. Dyson Mayhew serving the first of two-match suspension. So Schmeichel in goal. Johnston, Scales, Trumpy and Taylor in the back four. McGregor, Engels and Itati in midfield. Good. Ida and Yang up top. There's no job begin for Villa. The club captain is on the bench. He's sure he will come on and want to make a massive impact on this game. Gordon, the atmosphere is unbelievable here in Birmingham. This is what the Champions League nights are all about. Celtic fans have been in fine voice across the city all day. Over 2,500 in the stadium and around 10,000 in the city. They want to see their side pick up something and take it into the playoff stage. The Champions League anthem, Gordon, just moments away here at Villa Park.
Looking forward to it. We are looking forward to it. Gabriel's going to enjoy his night. You can keep an eye on social media at Clyde SSB for any updates there, and of course any reaction, and we'll deal with it on tomorrow night's show. Right, two more. The last seven players involved in transfer activity between Celtic and Villa: Scott Sinclair, Sean Maloney, Stelian Petrov, Alan Thompson, Tommy Johnson. These two are so hard. Who's the current Celtic backup goalkeeper?
It's not Scott Bain either, is it? It's another boy.
No.
What, it's him?
Yeah.
You can say it's his dad or something. I have no idea.
Sinisalo. Just came in the summer. And the other one was I think it was a loan spell. He was a winger in the kind of Ronnie Dyla era, I think.
Tonev?
Yes.
Who?
Tonev.
I don't know his first
Alexander.
Name.
Alexander. Was he there at the same time as you?
No. He might have been.
Alexander.
Probably another one they got rid of for me, Gordon.
Alexander. Tonev. Right, what a night we've got in store. Aston Villa against Celtic doesn't get much bigger than that. And tomorrow, Rangers have Europa League fish to fry as well. So make sure you join us from 6. Gordon DL and Mark Wilson will be here. And enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.